Chapter 12.
Theron had no intention of showing up late for his briefing with the Supreme Commander. The director was already furious with him for slipping his name into the summary report for Operation Endgame. No sense adding fuel to the fire. As a result, he arrived at Jace's office 20 minutes early.
"Take a seat,"
the receptionist instructed, pointing to one of several chairs against the wall.
"The Supreme Commander will see you once everyone is here."
There was nothing in her tone to indicate this was anything but standard protocol, but Theron couldn't help but wonder if the director had given explicit instructions not to let him in to speak with Jace Malcolm unescorted. However, looking at the young woman's bearing, professional but in no way wary or guarded, convinced him he was just being paranoid. He smiled to himself as he sat down, glad to see his survival skills were operating at full throttle once again. For a field agent, a little paranoia was a good thing. Sometimes they really were out to get you. The director arrived about 15 minutes later. He gave a perfunctory nod to Theron, then a warm smile and wink to the receptionist. The young woman blushed and smiled herself as she pretended not to have seen the gesture.
"Looks like the director's looking for wife number 3,
Theron thought to himself.
"Any advice for this meeting?"
Theron asked quietly as his boss took a seat beside him to wait.
"Since when does anything I ever tell you matter?" he replied in a sharp whisper, just low enough to keep the receptionist from hearing. "You just do whatever you want anyway."
"But I get results,"
Theron reminded him.
"That's why you keep me around."
The director didn't reply, and Theron could tell he was biting his tongue to keep from unleashing a full-blown rant in front of the receptionist.
"Jace is a military man,"
the director finally said after regaining his composure.
"He likes discipline and order. Pull one of your typical reckless stunts while he's calling the shots, and he'll crush you."
"I'll keep that in mind,"
Theron promised. They passed the next few minutes in uncomfortable silence until Master Nos D'Aurel, their Jedi liaison, arrived. The Keldor was slightly taller than Theron, though he appeared thinner, possibly because of his loose-fitting Jedi robe. His rough, ridged skin was a faded hue of yellow-brown. Like all Keldor who ventured from the helium-rich atmosphere of their homeworld, his eyes were protected by form-fitting goggles, and the lower half of his face was partially obscured by a steel breathing mask. The mask covered the fleshy chasm that Keldor possessed in place of a nose and mouth, though it left his 10-centimeter-long, downward-protruding tusks exposed. Given his complexion, the mask, the tusks, and the odd-shaped cranium typical of the species, Master Nos D'Aurel's appearance was intimidating and unsettling. But Theron knew the Jedi was one of the most respected and honored masters in the Order. He was the Republic's foremost expert on the Sith. He had studied them in detail for many years in his role as Keeper of the Jedi Archives. Having reviewed the file the Jedi sent over, however, Theron knew he was more than a mere historian. Nos D'Aurel was also an accomplished warrior. He'd been battling the Sith ever since their startling reemergence on the galactic stage, longer than Theron had even been alive.